Welcome back, listeners of Siouxland Catholic Radio, and I'm so glad you took the time to set your dials to 88.1 FM, KFHC Ponca Sioux City, and KOIA Storm Lake. I'm Joanne Fox. I'm the host for the show today, and if you were with us for the first segment, you know that we're talking about Rekindle, the event formerly known as the Youth Rally, and it's been going on in the Diocese of Sioux City for a long, long time, decades, I think, and it always retooled itself over the years because when I was in journalism, and that's where I've spent most of my adult career, and I covered the youth rallies quite a bit and always enjoyed them. I was always kind of energized by the faith of the young people, and I was always impressed with the level of keynote speakers that were brought in. So I want to remind you again, if you think this is of any interest to your son, daughter, niece, nephew, cousin, next door neighbor, Rekindle is Sunday, October 17th. It is at Kemper High School in Carroll, Iowa. It is for young people between 7th and 12th grade. They have a middle school track. They have a high school track. Check-in is at 9:45 in the morning, so, you know, plenty of time to sleep in and get there. During the day, there's music, there's breakout sessions, there's mass, there's confession, adoration. They have lunch, they have dinner. Everything wraps up at 7 p.m., so it is a full, full day. You can get a lot more information about this if you go to scdiocese.com/rekindle. And there is just about everything you wanted to know about it. The most important thing is you can't just walk in the door. You have to register through your parish by October 1st. And I remind you again, this program is airing, September 27th. And then it replays October 2nd, which is the day after the registration. But like I said in the first segment, if you call your parish and tell them that you heard this on the radio and you'd really like to sign up that young person to take advantage of this, I think they might give a little bit. So that is everything you need to know. And again, I will talk about Rekindle a couple more times just in case you're just tuning in and you don't have paper, pen, pencil, your calendar, your phone available. So if you were with us for the first segment of this show, you know my guest who has joined me on the phone is Chris Padgett. He is a speaker, musician, author, and I loved hearing about the early years in your boy band. Did I get it right? Scarecrow, Tin Man?
Yep, Scarecrow and Tin Man.
Okay, Tin Man.
T-I-N-M-E-N.
Plural.
Yep.
And I was just curious, you talked about, you know, how you did the music, and it was kind of similar to Jars of Clay, maybe. I just wondered, did you also have, like, choreography like the other boy bands, like NSYNC?
Hilarious. Oh, no. No, it's a joke when I say boy band. There was nothing boy band about us. We were a little bit more of an intense, you know, not necessarily aggressive, but kids were jumping up and down and occasionally would be crowd surfing. Those were the young years when I had a metabolism. So we were full of energy and just trying to have a great time, and kids would come and have a blast. And then we would, like I said, we would give this message at the end that would just challenge them to say yes to God. So, but yeah, the only thing about us that was a boy band was the fact that we were four boys, you know,
okay,
trying to have fun and use our gifts and talents. But nobody confused us for NSYNC.
Oh, nobody? Okay. And you referenced the fact that you were married at the time and had some children. So tell the listeners a little bit about your family life.
So, yeah, I got married at the age of 21. I was a young kid. In fact, I had met Linda when we were in high school. We were 17 and Southwest Florida, going to a high school, and we fell in love and then started going to college in Southeast Florida. And we just said, let's just do this. We got married at 21, started having kids, I don't know, a year later, and continue to have kids. We have nine kids, five girls and four boys. The oldest is 29. She's married and has kid. A couple of our kids are married now with kids. And so, you know, the family thing was, you know, that we were doing full-time ministry with a bunch of kids and It was crazy and it was nuts and it was loud, but it was awesome and it was exactly what we were supposed to be doing.
Well, and isn't that interesting? Again, you know, I think the Lord puts us in certain places in our lives to thrive, and clearly that was going on with you. And I love the idea, you know, that one individual just looked at you and said, "You're not Catholic, are you?" And I've heard that from, in a different way, like from many of my the priests who say to me, "Well, you know, I never thought about the priesthood." And somebody came up to me one day and said, "Have you ever thought about being a priest?" And suddenly it was that moment. And it kind of was sounded like for you, it was that moment too, where you thought, well, maybe I should think about the Catholic faith.
Right. Honestly, it was certainly not on my to-do list. I will tell you that right now. When I decided to pursue or to enter into the possibility of RCIA, it was with a lot of fear and trepidation because my family was not pro-Catholic.
And
my family was pretty anti-Catholic, if anything.
I have had that conversation with, listeners know, you know, I've spent my entire career practically in the field of journalism and over 25 years with the Catholic press. And so many conversion stories, I joke with the person I'm interviewing saying, we all know that when you announce, I'm thinking of being Catholic, not everybody runs out to the parking lot and does the dance of joy. Sometimes it's,
no.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So, right. My mother said my becoming Catholic was the most hurtful thing I'd ever done to her. Like, you, I knew choosing that was going to be a major problem, not just for my career, but for, you know, most of my family who were very formative in my upbringing, obviously. So, you know, it was a pretty significant choice that we were making, and we were willing to just almost abandon ourselves to whatever God had in store. And I think, honestly, that's part of the reason that I love talking to kids, is that there's a part of me that still remembers what it was like to be young, what it was like to be disinterested or feeling like I have to do these things because that's what mom wants or that's what I'm supposed to do. I still remember that, but I also remember how, like, transformative it is to let God do something beautiful in your life. And that's my passion, is trying to see kids connect the dots to their own personal yes, you know?
And when you come to Carroll, Iowa, to Kemper High School, what is that message besides, you know, kids think about what's going on? What other kinds of things are you going to try and encourage them to think about?
Well, honestly, it's a simple message. There's a part of me that just wants them to take a small little step towards Jesus. So if you look at, like, some sort of a, you know, horizontal line, we're all at different places on that when it comes to our faith life. We're all growing, and sometimes we think, well, maybe I can get my kid to go to this youth conference and they're going to go from way on the left side of that line all the way to the right and have this incredible encounter, and they're going to say, yes, I want to be a priest, and everything is going to be perfect. But that's not a lot of the ways that the Lord works. Like, he works, I think, sometimes through small little progressive steps, a little yes here, a little yes there. And so I love helping a kid on their journey from wherever they are on that line take a little bit closer step towards the Lord. Some are going to have a moment that's going to be pretty decisive and life-changing, and some are going to be introduced to some ideas that maybe they'd never thought about before, or some sort of word might resonate in them. They'll think that's a little bit different than I'm used to. So when I do talks, I use a lot of humor. And so most of the time, the kids are going to be laughing. They're going to be at peace. We're going to do some silly little songs together. It's going to be kind of fun. And then what happens is I tell a lot of stories. And the stories that I tell are very personal and very real and will probably resonate with them a lot because they're stories from their neck of the woods in a way. When I was a kid, my parents were divorced, and so I talk a lot about how we all go through things that can be struggles. We all go through things that can you know, cause a little bit of brokenness, a little bit of hurt. And a lot of times our friends around us are saying, here's the solution, here's how you can be better, feel better, do better. And a lot of times it's these wants, you know, like I want to be satisfied, so I'll do this or I'll go there, I'll be a part of that. But Jesus is really the fullness of what everyone is longing for. Like, I really believe that. And so I want that message to start resonating in their brain that God is what they were made for, this union, this intimacy, and they'll never be fully satisfied until they let God have all of who they are. That giving of self is probably a lifelong process, a little bit more of you can have me, a little bit more of you can have me. And what's amazing, and my wife and I have this phrase, it's a big part of our family phrasings, is you can't outgive God. So when you give God a little bit, he blesses you so much. And if you give him a little more, he blesses you so much. And I look at where I'm at now, it's a miracle. But it was little yeses to letting God do something in my life.
And I think today, with today's young people who can tend to be somewhat jaded and cynical about life, I think they're too young to be jaded and cynical, but sometimes they are. And, you know, something that sounds so easy to, you know, just give yourself over to God, I think they think to themselves, oh, that's way too easy. There must be something more that I need to do.
I swear, if we just did that one thing, said yes to God, we would change the world. That is literally Mary. She said yes to God. She gave herself to God, and the world has never been the same. During this this retreat, this time together with them, we're going to look at a little bit of Mary, and we're going to ask the question, what does she teach us about our faith? Which is kind of, you know, cool. It's certainly Catholic, but for a guy, sometimes that can be like, I don't know, what do I really need to know about Mary? The awesome thing is that when we start diving into this, yes, just giving yourself to God, it is Mary who's the great model and example for that. And for a young person to start growing in their understanding of Marian devotion, it's just going to help them in the long haul. So honestly, I think that, yes, it's simple. I'm not, without sounding dumb, you know, St. Paul talks about the reality that he did not come using elaborate, elegant words to try to convince people about who God is and what he's done. And Jesus himself spoke about the reality that I'm glad that you've kept this from the wise and you've introduced this to the innocent, right? This idea of being receptive. So there's something mysterious a little bit about that, the simplicity of the message, but the Holy Spirit and the power of God working through these simple messages sometimes can make all the difference in the world.
And we have to make a little bit difference in the world here at Catholic Radio, so it's time to take another short break. And listeners, thank you so much for staying tuned. We have a lot more to talk with my guest, Chris Padgett, so keep your dial set there on 88.1 FM, because we will be right back.